We started our year by looking at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and that has led us into a study that will actually take just a couple more weeks, and then we'll be finished with that. But it's some things that are foundational for people. If you're new to Scripture, maybe these are things that you have never realized, and these are things that will help you in your understanding of the Bible as you read through it. And so we've been through a number of those, and we're coming today back to something that we looked before, but it deals with God's existence. Earlier in the year, we looked at some of the things that show us that there is a God. But we come back to that topic today in Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. So let's read those. I want to put those on the table, and then we're going to do something very different for the service today than I have done before. So Exodus chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate or hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord? Who is Yahweh, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Here is a challenge between a man and God. A man who says, I don't know this God, and I don't know that he exists. You know, we have the Super Bowl tonight in Phoenix, and theoretically, the Super Bowl is the competition between the two best teams. Now, you can argue that every year, but these are the teams that make it to the Super Bowl. And when you have a competition like this, the guy who comes out with the most points at the end is declared the victor. He is the world champion. It is the world champion football team. Football is now a $9 billion enterprise. First game was in 1967. Its TV viewing rivals any other event. The Olympics, the World Cup, papal celebrations, royal ceremonies, royal weddings, the Oscars, the Grammys, it rivals any of those. As a matter of fact, the last 5 years, the Super Bowl has been watched by more than 100 million viewers. Last year was the highest when Seattle and Denver played. It was 111.5 million people were watching that. Most of you have seen the statistics. If you want to have a 30-second commercial during the Super Bowl, it'll cost you $4.5 million. I only got one for our church this year. You can gamble on the game. Last year, they estimate $3.8 billion were gambled illegally. Last year in Nevada, legal gambling, there was $19.7 million bet on the game. I learned this year in reading a couple of things that there are some pretty exotic bets that you can place. You can bet what color Gatorade will be dumped on the winning coach. You can bet on how long it will take Idina Menzel to sing the Star Spangled Banner. I love this one. You can bet on whether or not Bill Belichick will smile for the cameras during the game. Outside of the Oscars and the Grammys, there may not be a bigger place for celebrity parties. There is a lot going on this week. And all of it is to decide who's the best team. But when we read this passage, we have set up for us a competition, a challenge that's been placed. Moses and Aaron come in before Pharaoh and say, "God said, let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "I don't know your God." And so there is, by virtue of what has happened, a challenge. Does your God really exist? Is there a God? As we've studied this, we have looked at the fact that God exists, God acts, and God communicates. And we spent the last several weeks on that last one, the fact that God communicates to us through His Word. And as He communicates, it's God actually giving us the information that He wants us to know. I want you to back up today, and I want you to look specifically at God acts. What is it that God does? Sometimes we feel like God is what we would call transcendent. The idea of transcendence is that He is distant or He is unknowable. That's your big word for today, that God is He's not really here. He's not really personal. He's not really with us. When you study it from a theological perspective, let me read you this and I'll explain it to you. God's transcendent nature strives to keep Him distant and remote from His creation, both in space and time. Yet on the other hand, His immanent nature works to draw Him near to His creation and to sustain the universe. God's love for His creation is so great that we see His immanence overshadowing His transcendence. When we translate that, it means that God is not at all like us, but He wants us to know Him, and He wants to know us. And so when people think about God, they often think of Him as transcendent, that God is unknowable. Even if there is a God, I don't know if I can know Him. How do I know for sure He exists, and how do I know for sure what He is like? Well, that's why He's communicated with us. And so as we look at this passage, we're going to find that God is going to do something in the book of Exodus that is instructive for us, and I hope this is something that will be beneficial to you. Turn over two chapters to chapter 7 in Exodus. And I want you to see something that's thematic here. Chapter 7, verse 5. Chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." Jump down to verse 17. In verse 17, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord." Look over at chapter 8, verse 10. Chapter 8, verse 10, "And he said, tomorrow, and he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mightest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God." Verse 22 of the same chapter, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen," where the Israelites are living, "in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies will be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth." Go to chapter 9, verse 14. "For I will at this time send my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon the people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth." Two verses later in verse 16, "And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." When you come to chapter 10, there's a little bit of a change. Chapter 10, verse 2, he's speaking to the Israelite people. In verse 2 of chapter 10, "And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy grandchildren what things I have wrought," or how much I have done in Egypt, "and my signs which I have done among them." Why? "That ye may know how that I am the Lord." Sometimes we ask the question, why did God do all of these plagues? What was the purpose of these plagues? It all rests in this question, this challenge that Pharaoh gives to Moses and Aaron. But the question that has to come to Moses' mind is, how in the world am I going to convince Pharaoh that Yahweh actually exists? Now, God had given Moses a couple of things, the staff that's going to turn to the snake, and he's given him the hand that had leprosy. But here's a man, a preacher, a prophet of God, who's saying to himself, I've got a guy here that believes he is a God. He has no interest in knowing my God. He doesn't even believe my God exists. How in the world am I going to convince that man that my God exists? Well, in order to know that, we're going to read through the rest of this. I told you I'm going to do something I've never done before. I've never prepared more to do less. I'm going to read some scripture to you. And having just studied the fact that this is God's communication to us, I want you to think through the passage a little more. Many of you read through this past week. I want you to look at some of it again. Occasionally, I'll stop and make a few comments, but I'm going to do something I'm simply going to read to you. It's not your bedtime story, so don't go to sleep. But it's affirmation of the fact that God acts in such a way that you can know Him. And by that I mean you can know that He exists. You can know that He is real. He is here. He is knowable. His transcendence does not keep you from being able to know the Creator God. And so as you look at these passages, you realize that God is doing all of these things for a very specific purpose. Now, you can follow along if you would like to, or you can simply listen. I'm going to get a stool and sit down for two reasons. One is because I sway when I stand there. And two, I don't feel well. So, if I fall off the stool, somebody come get the Bible and finish reading. Okay? Exodus chapter 5. I'm going to begin again. And Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me into the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us," or "please, let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?" Notice his question there. Why are you distracting the people from what I want them to do? Verse 5. And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them cease from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale," or the quota of bricks, "which they did make beforehand," previously, "you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish any bit thereof. For they be idle, they be lazy. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard false words." And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get the straw where you can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be reduced." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted, they pressed them, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily task," as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmaster had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick, both yesterday and today and heretofore?" Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, "Why dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given to thy servants, and they say to us, make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people." But he said, "You are lazy. You are lazy. Therefore you say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the quota of bricks." And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, "Ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of the daily task." And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, "The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in the hand, their hand to slay us." And Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is that thou hast sent me? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil, he's done harm to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." Then the Lord said unto Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and under compulsion he shall drive them out of this land. And God spake further unto Moses and said, I am the Lord. And I appeared to Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, but by the name of God Almighty, and by the name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage where they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for my people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. I want to stop there for a moment. Do you see what's happened as Moses has approached God? He's gone in with such confidence, and he said, God's going to do some great things. And then how often is it that God doesn't do things exactly the way that we want Him to do it? And all of a sudden, Pharaoh's winning. God's not accomplishing anything. You're discouraged with Him. And even the preacher has to say, how am I going to convince Pharaoh that there's a God when his own people don't even believe there's a God? And so what's going to happen is that God is going to use these events not just to convince Pharaoh that there's a God, but to remind his own people that there's a God. As he moves into these 10 plagues, it is not a matter of just one man understanding there's a God. It is all of the Egyptians. It is all of the Israelites. It is all of the people who read this story today. So here's what's going to happen. Here's what God is going to do to convince people He is a God. He does exist. And He can act. Chapter 6, verse 28. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of unskillful speech. And how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee like a god unto Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken. He shall not listen unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine enemies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Work a miracle, Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy staff and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their secret arts. And they cast down every man his staff, and they became serpents. And Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goes out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned into the serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not listen. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike with the staff that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the Nile, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the Nile shall die, and the Nile shall become foul, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say to Aaron, take thy staff and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon the streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, upon their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that it may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up his staff and smote the waters. And there were in the Nile, that were in the Nile, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the Nile were turned to blood. And the fish that were in the river died, and the river became foul, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto the Lord, unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, and they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days passed after that the Lord had smitten the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go to Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs. And the Nile shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and unto thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs, or your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say to Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy staff over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their secret arts, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, or the hour is upon you, it's yours to tell me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may only remain in the river? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee and from the houses and from the servants and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together unto heaps, and the land became foul. And when Pharaoh saw that there was respite or relief, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Say to Aaron, Stretch out thy rod, and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians tried to do so with their enchantments, to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Here are the first three plagues that the Lord sends upon Egypt. Now, I want you to put yourself in the place of the Egyptians. Let's say that you're not one of the people in Pharaoh's house. And all of a sudden you hear the stories of a battle between Pharaoh, your deity, and this Yahweh that you've heard about. Who's winning so far? I think God's winning. Now, here you are watching this. But what I want you to see is that God acts in such a way that you can know He exists. God was doing things so that people would say, there is a God. He does exist. And He does act. He does things for me to see so that I can know that He exists. And for some people, there's this idea that He probably exists and I can probably trust Him and He can probably do things. God gives us stories like this to say to us, here's what I can do. Here's my power. Here's my absolute authority. I do exist. I want to read just a little bit more for you. And as we come to these, that'll begin to tie some things together for us. Go back to verse 20 in chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he comes forth to the water, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of insects or flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of insects, and also the ground whereupon thou art. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of insects shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies unto the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. The land was laid waste by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye, sacrifice to the Lord your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not right so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We must go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice unto the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of insects may depart from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and made supplication to the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of insects from Pharaoh, from his servants and from his people, that there remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, or continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord shall be upon thy livestock, the livestock which is in the field, the horses, upon the donkeys, and the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. And there shall be very grievous murrain, or there severe pestilence. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is in the children's that is the children's of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh said, And behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes from the kiln, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon a man, and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses threw it up toward heaven. And it became a boil breaking forth with sores upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. And the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And he hearkened not unto him as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me, and I will at this time, send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. Well, here again we have plagues 4, 5, and 6. Are you convinced yet? If you're an Egyptian, and now you've gone through 6 of these plagues, has God begun to show you that He does exist? You know, here's the question that a person has to answer for himself. Does God have to repeat this in order for it to be true for you? Can you listen to the story of God going to a group of people, an entire nation, and saying to them, I want you to know that I am the Lord. I have power. I want you to know who I am. He has acted in such a way that you can know Him. Does God have to repeat all of that? Or is a story sufficient? God has given us multiple stories throughout the Scripture of how He acted, of what He did in order to let people know that He really does exist. So you have 6 plagues. And I think the average person in Egypt is starting to say to themselves, I think God probably exists. He's able to do things our God certainly cannot do. Well, let's finish just a little bit more of it. We're going to come back to the story, and I want to pick it up in chapter 10. Chapter 10. Let me make sure that's where I want to go to. Chapter 10, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart, and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. And that thou mayest tell in the hearing of thy son and of thy son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring the locust upon thy coast. And sure enough, he does. Let's skip down to verse 21 in the same chapter. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us, and there shall not be an hoof left behind. For therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto them, Get thee from me. Take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. You read the rest of the story if you are reading through the Bible in a year. And as you read through the rest of the story, here's a man who is confronted with God's actions 10 times. And finally, he does compel the Israelites to leave his land. Please go away. But he doesn't do it until his land is completely destroyed. You know, God asked a question here in this last passage that I read. In verse 3 of chapter 10, it says, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? How long are you going to refuse to humble yourself before God? God has given us a book where it's shown us all of His actions, all of His acts. Starting in Genesis chapter 1, He created the earth. He created man. He gave him a beautiful garden to live in. God created a nation. God brings the Israelites out of Egypt. God takes them into Canaan and wins battle after battle. You go all the way through the Old Testament and you have Daniel. And you have tremendous acts of God. You come to the New Testament and Jesus Christ Himself, the greatest act of God, to come to the earth so that we can have salvation. How long will it be until you humble yourself before God? How long are you going to hold out? Here's God demonstrating Himself. He's not transcendent and can't be seen. God acts in such a way that you can know Him. Is your God that real? We sing a song fairly often in our hymnal, and you'll recognize it fairly quickly. It says, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. You go to the second verse, it says, when through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sweetly singing in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains grander, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, how great thou art. You know, when you look at the acts of God in the Bible, when you go through and you see what God has literally done, He is acting in such a way that you can know Him. He's acting in such a way that you have to willingly deny His existence and willingly harden your heart not to know Him. He said, here I am. God is acting in such a way that you can know Him. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to sing through this song, How Great Thou Art. It's number 38 in your hymnal. And as we sing that song, I want you to sing it thinking through what God has done. The fact that God has acted in such a way that you can know Him. And as we sing that song, don't just sing it rotely from memory, but pay attention to what it says and how often it points us to the things that God has accomplished for us. Let's go ahead and stand together, please. Is Valerie still in here? I think Nancy is going to play. She's in junior church. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Let's sing that together. O Lord my God, and I in awesome wonder consider all worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe play. Sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Great thou art. To thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. I didn't read the third verse. It says, and when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Here's this God that sometimes we feel is so far from us, but has done so much for us. He has acted in such a way that you can know Him. Let's sing the last verse together. There's coming a time when we'll see Him face to face, when Christ shall come.
When Christ shall come, out of acclamation, and make me sure, what joy shall fill my heart. Then my soul, my Savior God to thee.
Will you bow with me for prayer? With our heads bowed and without looking at others, maybe this morning there's someone here that needs to humble themselves before God. You've treated God as if He can't be found, when all through the Bible He has shown you His acts. He has shown you all the things that He has done to display Himself. The plagues are just one of them. And you have such petty things that are keeping you from that great God. Oh, when we stand before Him, I think He's going to look at us and say, "What do you mean you couldn't see me? What do you mean you wouldn't serve me?" And maybe this morning, you need to be the one who says, "Lord, forgive me. I'll humble myself before You, and I'll recognize You for who You are." I'm going to ask Nancy to play through one more stanza of that. And as she does, would you talk to the Lord and make sure your heart is right with Him?